Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you. This is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all. This is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door. And it's time to open.
This is actually has just reached the point where I am laughing about it. You are listening to Waking Up in America, and we have been trying to get through the door of this radio program with one thing or another failing magnetically or universally or whatever. And the latest thing that has come is we can't hear each other on the radio bridge. So I can say one thing, and somebody else can say something else, and we don't hear each other. So I don't understand exactly how this is happening, but if during the course of this fabulous America, us in our 32nd year, here's the deal. Bear with us, because sometimes we actually can't hear each other. And maybe that's the thing to notice in the world, that sometimes we're just not listening to each other, or we can't for some reason. And we couldn't hear each other this morning for technical reasons, and we're trying to get a radio show together, and perhaps in your life, somebody's trying to get through to you and knock on your window and knock on their door. Listen for vibrations and things of that nature, because we've got great people here on Waking Up in America, and I just had this experience of nobody could hear each other. Randy couldn't hear me. Paul couldn't hear me. I heard Paul didn't know what to do, that kind of thing. And Mike is going, at the technical boards trying to put it together, and then his calm voice says, Valerie, it's all going to be okay, because it's always, when you've been doing something 32 years, you think it would get easier, and in a way it does, because by the tone of my voice, I'm not crazy, and I don't think crazy, Randy is crazy either, or I think Paul isn't either, so.
I'm back.
We heard you. We heard you come in and join this morning.
Yeah. So what we were talking about in the green room, because that's what we do in the morning before we go on air, what we were talking about in the green room is some very historic things that have happened in America in the last week. And I'm calling it the turning point. One of the things that I saw this week, and we were actually trying to get the audio on it for you, what I saw this week was an office of the president with Republicans and Democrats in it. And what I saw them signing was a human trafficking bill. And I don't even know if there's ever been one in the United States. Do you have any idea, Paul, or do you, Randy?
No.
Well,
as far as I know, it's never happened.
There. I didn't think so either. And here was the rest of it. They were all in there, Democrats and Republicans, going rah, rah, rah. And so to me, that's a historical turning point, human trafficking, oh my God. And the speech, did any of you hear the border speech that he made this week? That was the other one that I was actually trying to get on video for you. He made a border speech about why we needed the border. And it's the figures on it. Randy, see if you can find the figures on human trafficking just for last year.
Okay,
if you
hold
can
on.
Find that. Or I think it's on the most recent report on Trump accomplishments. What they're talking about is that, the income of the worker has never been higher since the 1960s, as far as things going up, or a number of people hired, all kinds of really good markers. But when you get on the radio, and Randy and I were talking about it, when you get on the radio with all these kind of markers, what the press has to say is, wow, he's an evil man because he got all of those people signing hats. Randy, there's a... and Paul, maybe you've seen it. Have you seen this guy that's wanting to impeach Trump, and he puts on these very strong ads about he's the most corrupt president in the history of the United States, and that they want you to join impeach now because 6.9 million people want to impeach this president. Don't you think that's funny? How many people are in the U.S.?
I haven't heard that. The polls are totally contrary to what the media puts out. If we're talking about corrupt presidencies, we just had 8 years of one.
Only eight? Are you
including any before that?
I could go back, but, you know,
how about including the Bushes or the Clintons or...
Oh, we can go back. We can go back that far. Sure, sure. Both Bushes, but they weren't consistently corrupt. The corruption really was limited to, you know, occasional little outbursts. The Clinton presidency was a continuous outburst of corruption. Obama.
Yeah. I get that.
Okay.
Especially, did you read the Clinton's War on Women? I know Randy did. Did you ever get a chance to read it, Paul?
No.
Okay, Randy, what stuck out for you when you read Clinton's War on Women? Roger Stone's book, that one you liked so much.
It was literally a page-turner, story after another about how absolutely corrupt he was prior to being a president, when he was a governor, and even the wife, just all of them. And you know, I've said this, and I was just
never heard Hillary Clinton just called the wife before. I love it. You remember what I said to you earlier? I said, this morning you have a knack of saying something that is so appropriate, such a short, a short, you know, sentence. And that was another one.
And it tells the whole big story.
Yeah, well, what's really interesting about that, guys, is that there was, you know, they had this poll every year of who was most desirable amongst women, right? And Hillary Clinton topped that poll for 17 years, bless her Polish heart. This year they ran the survey, and for the first time, you're going to, do you know who topped the survey for the most admired woman in America? Go on, be wild, people.
His wife?
Who? What do you think, Paul?
The most admired woman in America? Oh, I know. Betty Grable?
Oh, Michelle Obama. Yeah. When,
much better.
When one sees the fake news being spun in the back room and things of that nature, to actually see broadcast Democrats and Republicans coming together, that was a terrific thing. And then another thing that's been going around the internet, I don't know if you've seen it, and I haven't spent a lot of time with it, but... You know that Q is supposed to be giving out these coded messages in his presentations, and it has been speculated that Q is actually John F. Kennedy Jr. and he will return. So the phantoms.
Mm.
Okay,
that's interesting.
No one can
prove that.
Pardon?
I said interesting, but who can prove that?
Well, they're claiming that he's going to show up. So that, I guess, would be, if it were true, that would be how you would know it was true, Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ergo, does he show up with Caroline, or that was his wife's name, right? Caroline on his arm. So anyway, that's in the background of Q, and Q has been known for uncoding messages. It's been going on for a really long time. So I got an email this week that said, let's uncode tweets, Trump's tweets. Well, it gets really interesting, because... Do you remember a tweet that said that they were had decided to build the wall, that the Democrats had, and he had gotten together, and they had decided to build the wall out of concrete, or out of steel rather than concrete? Did you ever hear that tweet?
No.
I never heard the speech, but it doesn't matter. A wall is a wall.
No, well, here, according, not when it's a code. Now, this is just have some fun. You go find it on the internet. I don't know what the truth is. Honestly, God, sometimes I feel like I'm in the middle of a hurricane trying to sort it out. Okay.
I never heard about a specific speech related to a discussion of the type of ball and the material. Currently, there are six different contractors involved with the wall.
I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to talk about a code, and you're actually describing the wall. Here's what they said according to the code. The concrete stood decoding it as not having the death penalty on the table, and that the steel included them being in jail, okay? And this was part of the code. So now we have a whole bunch of people decoding all of Trump's messages. So, the same, but it's actually like people are beginning to have fun with this. So perhaps we should give out a Ouija board on the show or something, Paul, about what do you guess. But that was why I didn't want to get into the actual construction of the wall, because this is all about a coding system. So in a nation that loves Harry Potter, we are now in love with Trump. Trump tweets his codes. So I thought you should be brought up to date.
Well, you know, steel walls rust.
Is that your final comment on this?
Well, it's a slippery slope, but if it's vertical, it's more slippery than concrete.
I think in terms of what we've been trying to do in this country is that we have to put on our ice cleats or something like that and just go stomping down so that we don't fall flat on our faces, because every time I turn around, there's something going on. I see stuff moving through my house. Excuse me, where's that going? Oh, well, we need the heater in the other room. Okay, fine. Next week, it would be great if you asked. So I feel, as I said earlier, like standing in front of a hurricane or what do they have there down there in Florida, Randy? What is it like when the wind swirls around your apartment? Does it scare the crap out of you?
Pretty crazy, yes. No, you stay calm.
You what?
You stay calm until some of the really big ones hit you.
And what was the biggest one that hit?
I'm talking about just particular ones. This last one that came through a year ago.
And you know, one of the reasons I kind of let this drift into hurricanes and things, and we were talking about this before, people have been afraid of national, the president declaring different military options that he has. A lot of people being afraid of martial law and then being afraid of national emergency. There are different grades, kind of like with a triage. You have different grades of how somebody has been injured or whether they're dead. In this case, it's a triage of how much force or power you're going to use to make things happen. And one of the things, I don't know how much you've heard about what's going on with the tribunals, Paul, but I heard they started in December the 3rd. Do you have any information on that, or do you not believe it, or, you know, any of that stuff?
No, I think, you know, it's part of the fringe conspiracy, a theory group. I haven't heard anything specific about that, just rumors.
Okay, well, do you know that the president of Mexico declared national or martial law down in Mexico?
The Mexican situation is very confusing.
Pipelines. They're pipelines. And what they're dealing with is the cartel on a different level. What they're actually having is that the gangsters are coming into Mexico. This is why it's a worldwide thing. It's not a U.S. thing. And they're stealing Mexican gas, and they're funneling it off to other places. And so he's declared martial law, and people are waiting and sleeping in their cars overnight to get gasoline. So this isn't, as I said, we're in the middle of a hurricane. We're in the middle of change. I never thought I would see the day when a Mexican president would declare martial law, and he's done it. I don't know that Trump will declare martial law. I think he's got to declare national emergency at least. And I think that the speeches that he's put out on the internet through the Oval Office, the Tuesday speech, explaining why the wall is needed, you'd have to really kind of have a few bolts missing to not be able to see the value of having a wall when you actually start to look at the figures. Were you able to find those, Randy, about how many people have been coming over the border and stuff? Or do we still have time for you to find that?
Still a few. Give me just a few. I was trying to find the right ones. Go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, keep going. ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. That's me going on. Do you want me to pick another subject here? What we're wanting to let you know is here at the beginning of the year, we have a turning point happening right now, okay? It's all happening. What you're going to start hearing is, I've told some of my friends, for some reason, one of the things that they have traded with these people is to call this, not to call this treason, but to call this some sort of a death from cancer, a gallbladder, old age, or whatever it is. And after they've done that, they'll be recognized as, you know, honorable people. Personally, I don't think they're honorable still, but hey, I suppose that's... They don't want the world to know how bad it was. And I don't know how I feel about that, because it's been so bad for everybody that it just almost seems like skating to me, when I would really like to see some of these people behind prison bars and they can be on projects for the rest of their lives, giving back service for what they've taken away, that kind of stuff. So I'm looking towards that, moving in this direction. I'm also, Paul, I don't know, how do we guide our new governor, because he sounds like a slicker version of the old one, you know? Our lives are...
Oh, you're talking about Gavin Newsom?
Yes.
I call him latesome. Yeah. Horrible. Horrible.
Yeah,
he's a carbon copy of Brown.
Well, no, not so. He's worse, in my opinion, because he runs around holding children and kissing them all the time and pretending him that that's what he's about, and he's not about that.
Oh, I think he will end up being very much, much worse because of his overgrown liberal and the bleeding heart liberal policies. It's just insane, insane. He's going to change the whole tax structure of California.
Oh, do you know that now there's limits on how much you can rent a room in your house for here in California? Did you know we won that honor in the last election?
Which honor did we win?
That you can, if you wanted to rent a room in your house, you would actually have to apply. You would have to actually be within some rate structure that's government approved.
I wouldn't be surprised that that's something that's going to eventually happen. The rent controls in L.A. County are beyond belief, and Proposition 13 may well be repealed by Gavin. So, you know, Mr. Jarvis is quaking in his boots.
Who is Mr. Jarvis?
Howard Jarvis, who brought us Proposition 13, associated with...
And mine.
20 years ago? When did Prop 13 come out?
I think it was even more than that. I think it was more like in the 80s or something, wasn't it?
It may well be late 80s, yeah. I think late 80s. I think you're right. He's trying to shut it down.
I went to the bank once, okay? This is back in the 70s. I went to the bank to make a house payment, because that's how you did it at that time. And this woman at the bank was making her final house payment. This is in the 70s. You know what her final payment was? $69.
Big bucks.
Yeah, well, you think in terms of that you wouldn't even be able to pay for the postage to mail all the stuff on it, because everything has been so complicated. And by the way, when I bought most of my houses, they were 1 to 5 pages. Now, when I bought this last house, it was like, oh, God, maybe 50 pages. So, to me, that's equivalent to how complicated things... You come from a time when things weren't so complicated. Every place we turn, there's complications and gadgets. I have had more gadgets break down in one day than I've ever even owned in a previous lifetime, you know?
You're right. I believe it.
And then we're supposed to step into some different neutron belt or do something like that and add one more gadget. I mean, could you really live without the Echo or the rest of them? And they're tempting. They're tempting. Did you find something over there, Randy?
Yes, I did. I was actually looking at, it says total apprehension on the border.
Okay.
And
yeah, that was one of them that I was looking at.
October 60,772. I don't know if they're adding something on. That's a lot of people.
Well, there was one I saw that had where they had picked up over 120,000 people.
Okay,
and what
so
Trump was saying and what is happening is that they're now getting really bold, okay? And they're like, what do you call them, the coyotes?
Mm-hmm.
The coyotes will, like, put you in a truck, tape your mouth, tie you up, and then do a border run through one of the open spaces because there's something like, the border, I think, is like over 2,000 miles. And one of the sets of figures that I saw was for 129,000 people. If you multiply it, if you multiply those figures, should they have any group figure on the whole thing, Randy?
Well, they did all the way up to February 2018, 521,000 for the entire year. I don't have a 2019
now,
figure.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you divide, does anybody have a calculator? If you take 500, did you say 521,000?
Yep. And 90.
The numbers are enormous,
yep.
And they're real. Contrary to what Pelosi said to Kirstjen Nielsen, I don't believe your facts.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, she responded by saying, they're not my facts, they're the facts.
I saw that same thing. They don't.
That's a good line.
It's a perfect line. It's a great line, Paul. Thank you for remembering that one. We'll put that up on the wall. That is what this group does not get along with. And yet, then another rumor came along, and it's a rumor I actually kind of like, Paul. You know, Randy, when we listen to all this stuff, it's like,
mm-hmm.
It may or may not be the truth, but I sure like it. I wish it was. The rumor that's going on now is that actually some of the people that have been acting like major poo-poo heads that are Democratic actually aren't. It's the whole story that I heard that was similar to the election, that there will be a election reform out of this last election because there are people in Congress that didn't get in Congress. And then we have the woman that blows up in Congress and starts calling everybody names, and she's a new... Do you remember what state she's from? Was it New Mexico or something? Or Arizona? I can't remember. that blows up in Congress, telling everybody off, and she's... what are we doing? What is
it's out of control. There definitely has form. No question.
So Paul and Randy and I and Mike, and Ron's over there somewhere scanning around through their computer and picking up stuff.
Yes.
The country in Missouri. And Roseanne is over in Santa Monica doing her thing. And Sherry St. Vincent, Lonnie Hugo, there are people all over the place that know that this is just a conversation that has to be moved forward. And when this Jack Bunny, who's on radio or on television, if you heard him, I haven't gotten mad in a long time, but listening to this guy, and then to say that he's supported by 6.9 million Americans who want the same thing he wants, that is a pittance of the number of people that are in the United States. Give me a break, you guys. And they do it with a straight face, and it's CBS is where I'm seeing this darn ad.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Randy, we got our money. Let's just go buy CBS. Paul, you can come along and help us redesign the place. How would you like to be part of a television station that actually puts out the truth, creates joys and opportunity, Paul? You could be the executive vice president. Is that anything you would do?
Well, it's a complicated issue.
But for here, for California, you are a man that evaluates California politics properly similar to me. If you were, and Randy too, okay? So if you were doing something for life, okay, and you were to take over and you say, okay, this is the biggest job I could do and I could bring the greatest improvement here, where would you take yourself?
What would I do?
Yeah, see, me, when I look at it, I think the law, the way the rules and the what they're calling the laws here are like so screwed up, it's breathtaking. They've got you, see, if you move a finger 1 inch to the left, you're in trouble. So I want to go after, I'm creating legal beagles. This is a declaration. A legal beagles will actually teach people how to take on when they're attacked by the legal system.
Well, you know, the legal system is almost as corrupt as the government that employs it.
Oh, right.
That's
what
one of the problems.
I think it's the corrupt position that actually gives the government its mouth, okay?
Look, we have a judge here in California, the 49th District. Back when Newt Gingrich was running for president, one of the things that he promised that he would do was restructure the 49th District. And we have one single judge who on 8 separate occasions shut down and went against presidential declarations. That's unacceptable. Because this particular judge was not using the legal system for legality. He was using it for political means because he was simply a pawn of the Democrats. And that's been going on for 15 years in California. So that's the kind of legal system we have in California. The other states, fortunately, are a little bit different, but California has deteriorated tremendously on all levels.
Well, you know, Paul, I actually knew the I don't know her at the moment. I haven't known her in a while, but I knew the granddaughter of Governor Olson, I think it was, who dates back, I think, to the 30s or something like that. And we were talking about, you know, Pat Brown didn't do a bad job, the father. And then somehow it just keeps deteriorating, and I keep actually wondering whether Brown had some kind of disease or not. And maybe the disease is, you know, contagious liberalism or something. It's not based on health. It's based on some kind of an illness that's going on inside of the people. And Randy and I were both part of the Republic for the United States of America, and we would have, quote, congressional meetings. And people not used to power, that will make life just incredibly difficult for you. These meetings were supposed to last for 2 or 3 hours. Sometimes we'd be in them 6 or 7 hours and things like that. And it was people grappling with their egos. And what we have to do is we have to actually get into our logic and get into our sense of responsibility. I was talking to a young woman the other day who goes, I can't stand President Trump, blah, 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 blah. But I do agree with that we need borders, okay? But we're not going to have Trump's borders, right? So they're making it somehow that Trump is the border, or Trump is the aggressor, or Trump is the one that's stripping children apart, or whatever it is. And they're being dealt with, and they're being tricked, and on an emotional level, rather on the fact and responsibility of the situation. There are facts, as you said again. Say that sentence again, Paul, about fact.
Well, first of all, let's address the issue of the illness, the mental illness that you're talking about. These people being sick, the virus that infects so many of the Democrats. Is pretty pervasive, and it's a virus, and it's called stupidity. that's one of the viruses, but these people are tossing around adjectives whose real meanings they have absolutely no understanding of. Racism, cruel, it doesn't end. It's simply because they don't have the intelligence to really make the proper commentary about the situation. And, you know, they take the simple route, which is insults. And that's what's going to continue. There will be a barrage of insults until the wall goes up, and then there will be more. It's not the way government is supposed to work. At least there ought to be occasionally a relatively, lenient dialogue between both parties. But when you have one group who adamantly refuses to sit down and discuss, you know, like a group of petulant children where the head of the group, after playing ball, says, well, I'm not going for this. I'm going home and I'm taking my ball. when Nancy Pelosi says, no, Trump walks out. Absolutely. Absolutely. He walked out on her. It's beyond belief how simple-minded the Democrats have become. They have no agenda.
Well, let me tell you one thing. If you've seen the naturalization signing, you would have thought, I think what I think, Paul. Oh, my God. The Democrats and the Republicans were in that room as one unit. Have you ever heard of the Talis Choir, either of you, Randy or Paul?
No, not in so many words, no.
The whole thing about the Talis Choir, and it's the most astounding experience I think I ever had audio in me a whole life. I actually, at the time, actually used some ecstasy when I was doing it because I'd been tuned for ecstasy, and the ecstasy opens up certain channels, and I'd heard that this was the most remarkable singing group on the planet. And, of course, I couldn't resist that. So I went to this concert, like maybe 10 or 15 years ago, met a couple of friends there, and we were sitting there, and they were singing like a chorus. Like, you know, chorus with different tones and things like that, and you could hear all the different sections. All of a sudden, what they did is they began to sing as one voice, and it's the most remarkable audio experience I've ever had in my whole life. So it'd be like I'd be listening to an entire choir of people from, you know, with Randy and all the different people and Paul and all these different people we've had in our lives. And then all of a sudden, that voice would become one voice. And that is what I pray to the universe to bring together for us in this turning point, that we support the man that's taking us in the direction. And then it's not that we're supporting just the man. We're supporting what the man stands for. We're supporting our love and our appreciation and our affection for each other. And we stand for the possibility of things going right, you know? Did you know it's right? When things are going right, it doesn't mean that things are going perfectly. It means they're going in the right direction, and you know it, and you feel your step get a little bit lighter, that kind of thing. So that's what we're all working here. Paul has committed. Paul, how many years have you been on serving others?
How many years? Well,
when you said, you know, I'm not going to be a book salesman. I'm going to start serving others. You did that in some way.
I became a U.S. citizen in my 20s, you know, and I went through a very beautiful, very formal naturalization process. So that is always fresh in my memory. But, you know, you brought up the bipartisan situation. I'm going back to that. It was heartwarming to see at least a joint agreement between both parties, at least in connection with that bill, okay? The human trafficking bill, that brought them together for a moment. We need more of those moments. But you talked about mind-altering. Remember Timothy Leary?
Oh, I did.
Drop out, tune in, turn on.
Yep, I remember. I actually met his associate was on Waking Up in America, and he talked porpoise talk for us. It was adorable, too, by the way.
And, you know, there's in the behavior of the Democratic Party, because it's so bizarre, it's so eccentric, it's so quirky, it's so irrational and incoherent that sometimes I think that they're on LSD or certainly some kind of mind-altering drug.
They'd be much more sensible if they were on LSD. What a lot
how
of people
do you know. Answer the question, how can intelligent, apparently, I say apparently, educated people spout such gibberish and incoherence?
Well, and
it baffles me.
Earlier, Paul, I mean, first of all, a lot of criminality is being exposed, and people turn into babbling idiots with that. I mean, Randy's met one or two babbling idiots. How does that work, Randy?
They're very, very interesting to start, but then they're not, and then they become not.
If I ever deteriorate into babble, please, both of you, beat me over the head immediately.
Well, we would have to hand you the broom, too, because I babbled more than once. Honest to God. Standing there looking in the mirror, and I think, you're still alive. That's good. You know, your left eyebrow is a little bit seedy there, but we can touch that up, you know. There's a movie, I don't know if you saw it, you guys, it was with Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn, and all I can remember is towards the, they're coming down the steps and part of their bodies fall off due to old age. And it sounds gruesome, but it wasn't. It was just extremely funny. And sometimes, you know, we just keep hanging in there. You know, that's what they say, hang in there. You could call this program Hang In There, too. Hang in there, things are getting better, and you know what? If you hang in there, they are. And one of my favorite quotes of all times is that if you're walking through hell, if you're in hell, keep walking. And I say
you said that.
It was
very wise words.
I know. As I mentioned, the cow horns, and the cow horns fall off the wall and crack part of the horn. I love that cow horn thing. And then I walk into the next room, and the cat has decided that she really likes to peel up the carpets, even though I've spent extensive monies buying carpet tags to stick them down. So I've got curled up carpets all over the living room when I go in. I say, okay, another Saturday, right? And then you look outside and the flag is twisted up that you put out. And you go someplace else and a bug is there or whatever it is. I mean, and Randy, you don't live in the country right now, do you?
No, very much the city.
You have some nice land in the country. And what's the difference between walking through your apartment and walking through that beautiful land? Is that beautiful land, you've got to pay attention to where you're going. Mm-hmm. You know. But in our cities, homes, and offices, we're just going around like little mice in the maze doing our thing. In the country, there's more to it. There's more to enjoy, there's more to feel, there's more to break out and all kinds of stuff. Talk to Randy after she spent a weekend on the land, and it's a wide person, you know?
It's a letter of peace out on the land, yes.
Yeah, the peace of it. So when did you politically get, quotes, active, or not just politics, when did you realize that your job was to work with others?
You know, all my life, I probably have. I was just more introverted when I was younger. And, you know, there was an amazing person, and I'll throw his name out. He's passed away, which is a shame. His name was Morris, and he was, always called him Dogma. He was as poor as it got, and he loved our country. He very much loved our country, and he, back in, I don't know, I knew him since about 2000, and all those years, when I had an email, he would send me tons and tons of political things, and that's where I really started to get my interest in it, and it was fascinating, the things that he would send. He was very much awake to what was going on in the country, and, you know, the world's it was a better place when he was in it, and surely, I'm sure he's fighting his own battles and running for our country from where he's at now. So,
when did he come into your life?
Somewhere in early 2000, I would say. So, he knew friends of mine, and I remember I was out in L.A. I'm pretty sure it was L.A., and the friends of mine that knew him had invited him to dinner, and he was one tough cookie. I remember one of the waiters had a ponytail, and he was just, you know, he was very hardcore, so he was upset about the guy having a ponytail, because, you know, he was a Marine, so everything was tight with him. And, you know, we told him, don't get upset, leave it be, you know, that was like really a non-issue, but he was just a really hardcore guy. He just was very strict about certain things. That was one of them. He was very strict about our country.
When you say strict, say a little bit more about being strict with the country.
The politics. He knew that there was criminals in power, and he knew that they were destroying our country as we know it. And, you know, and then fast forward to today, you know, Donald Trump has such a feat ahead of him. And he's literally got to get hardcore and stop being nice to all of these people that we absolutely know are criminals, and they're doing everything to derail him. You know, before we went live, the things that we were talking about is, you know, Trump's accomplishments. So I pulled up, I just did a quick search for Trump's accomplishments. And, you know, they've got it listed on the White House. They've got multiple things there. However, there's other sites that say 289 different things. You know, I was at dinner last night, and it was with somebody who is very much in the finance markets, and I'm not talking stock market, but just the business world. And they were saying how absolutely hot it is right now. And it's because, you know, Donald Trump is taking on things that the past presidents that we have spoken about, and a lot of us have the opinion that they were criminal and destroying our country. They were destroying within, but you know, according to the White House page, it says that he's created over 4 million jobs since he was elected. More Americans are employed now than in ever recorded history.
That's right, absolutely right. And in addition to that, the largest number of Black Americans ever. Are currently employed. Same thing with the Hispanics and the Asians. When you look at the diversification within the workforce, it's exploded. And I agree with what you said, you know, about Trump. He has no tolerance for hypocrisy. He has no tolerance for pretension. And he's willing to express his lack of tolerance for it. Contrary to what other presidents did, because they were afraid of what it might do to their particular political agendas. Trump has only one agenda, and that agenda is to make America great. But that means protect America and fulfill his promises. But you mentioned this man, Randy, and it occurred to me, where is Mr. Rogers when you need him? Mr. Rogers had a sweet, wonderful, compassionate, gentle approach to life. And that's gone. It's disappeared, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's gone up in a vapor of marijuana.
Oh, don't knock the marijuana too much. It's actually marijuana visions for me that may keep me going through this whole thing. I was really glad when they made it.
Well, I didn't see the Mr. Rogers movie that came out a few months ago. Did either of you catch it?
No, you're talking with, right?
It was quite a success. Very, very, very successful, well attended. But I missed it.
So, what do you want to say about it?
Simply what I just expressed, that we need, on both sides of the political fence, people like Mr. Rogers, who are gentle, who appreciate the good in humanity and are willing to express it, and can reach across the fence and shake hands. That's not happening. The only expression of solidarity, and it was a very brief one that you mentioned, Val, was the latest bill. We need a lot more of those.
Okay, so we're into our last couple of minutes here. Randy, I agree, Paul. What would you like to say in our last minute here?
Just, you know what, I think it's very important because there's so much negative out there. I think it's extremely important to express, as I have been doing for the last year, that I love our president, I love what he's doing, and I'm supporting him completely, and not all media out there is paid for. Yes.
Like we're not. We're totally not, and we've got friends that aren't, too, and we're not alone. There are so many people working on this. You get on the Internet, Ron sends such great stuff. we have to do is pick up a little bit of Fuddy Deer. We can expand the website to the library. I'm looking for an angel, so any angels out there that would like to contribute to the expansion and the streaming of this radio show, we're in our 32nd year now, and we're here to discuss the world as we see it in this moment, and none of us are right, and none of us are wrong, and we have a lot of fun. And we hope that you join us, because we touch some very deep and serious issues, but as we keep touching them and putting the light on these serious issues, guess what happens? They start to vanish, just like buggers in the sun. So that's what's happening now. I'm declaring a turning point for America and for the world. We are totally not in this alone, and I want to thank you, Mexico, for standing up and having the guts to declare a national emergency. I want to thank everybody that came on this show over the years that had to drag themselves out of bed and come here and be with us, and I just cannot tell you how much the guests have made making Waking Up in America what it is today. Thanks so much for listening.
Pouring through, now your heart is open. This is for all of your crazy schemes, love and dreams, and the time you spoke them. Almost ordinary people, and you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all you new, pouring through, now your heart is open.